CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. President Trump has just landed back in the U.S. after his trip to Israel and Egypt. He told foreign leaders meeting in Egypt that phase one of his peace plan is momentous.
This is the day that people across the region and around the world have been working, striving, hoping, and praying for.
Trump and the leaders of Turkey, Egypt, Qatar, and other nations signed a declaration to move toward a permanent peace in Gaza. Earlier, Hamas released all the living Israeli hostages, and Israel released Palestinian prisoners. CBS's Haley Ott reports it was an emotional day in Israel.
Reunited, mothers and sons, families that had been torn apart. Now, with all the remaining living hostages back in Israel, in exchange for nearly 2,000 Palestinian prisoners and detainees, a devastating two-year chapter is finally closed.
The Israeli military pulled back into a pre-approved area in Gaza. Aid has started to get in there now, but correspondent Deborah Patter reports it's slow going.
The United Nations says they will need 600 trucks a day to ease the dire humanitarian crisis, but it is taking time as every truck has to undergo Israeli inspection before the aid can be distributed.
That nor'easter that made its way up the East Coast, along with western storms, have caused thousands of airline flights to be delayed or canceled. These travelers say they're handling it.
We're delayed 74 minutes, but we're expecting more delays.
I got a deck of cards. We're going to play gin rummy and maybe hearts.
You may have heard about those video messages the Trump administration is playing in airports about the government shutdown. Well, you won't see them in every airport.
The Port of Seattle says they won't play the video message delivered by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem because it's too political.
Democrats in Congress refuse to fund the federal government, and because of this, many of our operations are impacted.
Instead, the port is urging a bipartisan effort to end the government shutdown. They're also working to find ways to support federal employees like TSA agents working without pay. Luke Ducey for CBS News, Seattle.
Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport is also not playing the video. Stanford Medicine reports when hospitalized premature babies hear recordings of their mother's voices, a key language part of the brain develops more than that of preemies who did not hear the recordings.
We actually saw differences in the language centers of the brain on MRI scan from the babies who got the extra voice exposure from their mothers.
That study co-author Melissa Scala of Stanford University. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers meet for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series at AmFam Field. The last time the Brewers made it this far was in 2018, when they lost in 7 games to this same Dodgers team. The Dodgers then advanced to the World Series, but lost to the Boston Red Sox in 5. College football. The Badgers, with another poor performance, losing 37-0 on homecoming to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Fall camp, I would tell you that we were in a better place. No, we're not better than most of the people or maybe anybody right now that we're playing.
NFL, the Packers over the Bengals, 27-18. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs led with 5 receptions, 18 carries, for a total of 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, even though he had the flu.
I really don't know where it came from. Just kind of woke up this morning just not feeling my best. I told him, I said last time that I felt that way, I had 130 and 2 touchdowns. So it is what it is.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low around 40. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a shower or two possible as well, and cooler, a high in the upper 50s. Wednesday looks mostly cloudy, with a few sunny breaks and a high pretty close to 60, currently 49 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll get a live update from Capitol Hill from Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson on any signs of progress in ending the federal government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump still thinks he's a game show host at The Apprentice. Heard this great perspective about Tiffany not getting Trump's endorsement. If Josh Schumann feels like he's got to take some shots at Tiffany, which might weaken him, but it makes him look better to Trump to maybe get the endorsement, this is what Trump likes. He doesn't have any incentive to endorse Tiffany as long as he can keep playing him and Schumann off each other.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of nightlife.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Sound Off Monday. What ridiculous thing has happened in the last week or even today or on the Sunday news programs that you want to talk about? Phone lines and text lines are open. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about anything you want. 855-752-4842. And I got just the guest to engage in these great conversations with and for all of you this afternoon. His name is Tom Paulswitz. He is a Navy veteran. Happy birthday to the U.S. Navy. He is a two-time congressional candidate and a small business owner. Thanks for sticking around with us, Tom. We haven't even gotten to the shutdown yet.
No kidding. But hey, Maggie, I had a question for you.
Yes.
You know, with this whole shutdown thing, one of the things that I've been thinking about is what happens when Congress comes back into session? I mean, I understand Johnson's playing this game, but it is eventually going to end. What is your take on that?
Yeah, there's three things that are happening all at the same time, and it makes for a really interesting political pickle, if you will, that Mike Johnson finds himself in. Folks, if you recall, the House of Representatives has been on vacation since before the shutdown. I'm not kidding you. The House of Representatives has been on vacation since before the shutdown. They have not been in formal session since the shutdown began. You would think that might be something that the House of Representatives would want to do. And yet, we've got the sound of the House clerk. This is the woman that does the formal announcements of the House sessions, when they're going to be in full session or open or not. Explaining to all the House members that Mike Johnson still wants them to take vacation. Let's take a listen to the House clerk explaining the vacation is going to continue.
The Speaker's Rooms, Washington, D.C., October 10th, 2025. I hereby designate the period from Tuesday, October 14th, 2025, through Sunday, October 19th, 2025, as a district work period under Clause 13 of Rule 1. Signed sincerely, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Pursuant to Clause 13 of Rule 1, the House stands adjourned until Tuesday.
Okay, so they're still in, quote, district work, which is as good as a vacation, until today, right? She was just giving the next updated chunk of time. So the House of Representatives not coming back to do any work on this shutdown at all, ever. But to get to your point, Tom, and folks, if you want to get in on this conversation, which is like quite the question, right? 855-752-4842. Here is my take on this. What happens when Mike actually gavels in Congress and fully brings it back into session? He has to swear in the congresswoman, the just newly elected, I should say, in a special election, congresswoman from Arizona, Adelita Grijalva. So if he has to swear her in, she's a Democrat, she is the 218th vote for the discharge petition. What is that? A discharge petition is a formal mechanism, a formal procedural mechanism in the House of Republicans to bypass a committee and force a full House vote on a particular motion. Here, the thing is the discharge petition to make the entire House vote on what, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, yes, the release of the Epstein files. And here is the rub. Adelita Grijalva, she would be the 218th vote. They would be forced to take an entire vote of the entire House to release the Epstein files, which means every MAGA congressman that ran on this stuff, that ran on the QAnon theories, that ran on all of this nonsense, which at its root is a real crime. There were real girls sex trafficked. They're going to have to stand up in public and take a vote on it. So the question that this points to is not just the question you asked me, Tom. The Speaker of the House, during a shutdown, refuses to gavel the House into session, refuses to allow the House to do its work, refuses, by extension, to negotiate in good faith with Democrats. Why would the Speaker of the House allow such a terrible PR liability to persist during a shutdown? Because he has been told, under no circumstances, let that discharge petition go forward. How afraid is Donald Trump and the Trump administration of the Epstein files? So afraid that they will direct the Speaker of the House not to gavel the House back into session during a government shutdown. That's how important
it is. But Maggie, in their defense, though, they're not being paid during the shutdown, right? So they really shouldn't be working, correct?
No. Members of Congress absolutely are still collecting their paychecks, as one of our very smart callers pointed out before.
Oh, that's right. They're still getting paid, so they actually should work.
Should be working. Yes. It should not be, quote, district work, don't need to be in D.C., don't need to be bargaining, don't need to be actually talking about what's going on in the shutdown. And by the way, in this hour, I am going to dismantle entirely the bogus lie that keeps getting told by Ron Johnson, Jim Jordan, Speaker Johnson, the Vice President, the President, Caroline Leavitt, all of them, about Democrat the veneer, this fig leaf that they've come up with. Oh, Democrats trying to give every undocumented person free health care. No, that's a lie, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to take the very document that they say proves that Democrats want to give free health insurance to undocumented persons. I'm going to take all of the documents, break it down, and prove to you that Republicans are liars. I'm going to do it on this program before we hit 6 o'clock because I'm sick of it. Our good friend CJ mentioned page 57 of section 2141 of the Democratic proposal. Yeah, I know how to research things, CJ, so I went and found it. I'll break it down for you. Nobody should go anywhere. Joe from Madison, say hello to Tom Paulswitz. What you got for us?
Hey, Tom. Hey, Maggie. Great show. And I thank you for your discussion just recently where you were describing that it wasn't Congress that decided that they're going to be, quote,
no,
on vacation.
Mike Johnson.
It is Mike Johnson. That's where it needs to be laid. And it's really important to say that. And his fear, his whiny boy cowardly act on this and his refusal end up to Donald Trump. What a weenie. What an absolute weenie. And previously you had a veteran who called in your last segment and he spoke very eloquently about his fury upon seeing veterans having to be used as pawns in this whole situation. Yeah. And I would say to him that this is time for veterans. And I say this as somebody who has veterans and active duty in my extended family. Get on the phone and you call every Republican legislator you know, from your local to from dog catcher to president, and you say again and again and again, and you say, I will not vote Republican unless this gets solved, and not by getting solved by digging around money here and there, but by getting the government back to work so that everybody gets paid. Veterans are in a position where they can affect this, and it's time for them to start using their power. Don't vote for people who don't support you. In the last election, you know, it was 60%, I think it was, veterans voting for Trump. They knew how he felt about them. He called them suckers and losers. Don't vote for people like that. Vote for people who care about you, and make it clear that you are not going to vote for Republican again if this kind of garbage keeps going on. It's insane. Are we going to be 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks out? Up until the next election, because Mike Johnson isn't going to want to gavel the Congress back in? How long is this going to keep going on? Thanks a lot, Maggie. Appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thanks, Joe. Tom, your reactions.
Well, first off, well said. Yeah. You know, I appreciate the sentiments about veterans, and I think it's important to note that there's a lot of veterans who are upset by this, but they also have loyalty to this country. And one of the things that this administration is doing is they're carving out and dividing that loyalty and saying, if you're not loyal to Trump, you're not loyal to the country. And I think there's a lot of veterans that are seeing through that. And hopefully we see that impact either this weekend or in the elections next year.
Yeah, this weekend upcoming, of course, the No Kings protest. There's so much sound here to emphasize. I do want to get the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene knows what's going on with Mike Johnson and the House. And she actually also understands the fact that Republicans in their big brutal bill are about to make health care completely unaffordable for tens of millions of Americans because they refuse to renew and restore the funding for the Affordable Care Act subsidies. You may hate Obamacare. By the way, Republicans tried to repeal it about 60 plus times. They've never been successful, so they're trying to break it this way. In other words, not actually legislating like you're supposed to do, but break it economically. Listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She knows what Mike Johnson's up to. Caleb, this is Cut 10.
I've been here in Washington all week, and I've been at my office. I've been in the Capitol. And there's two things I couldn't find this week. I couldn't find anywhere the Epstein files, and also couldn't find the Republican plan to fix the absolutely destroyed health insurance industry that got wiped out in 2015 with Obamacare.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two things I can't find. And when Republicans, and I'm criticizing also Congress big time, I'm really grateful to a lot of the things the president is doing, but I'm really upset with the direction Congress is going. But when we are not doing anything to address the cost of living, we aren't doing anything about Blackstone buying up houses where people, most young people, can't find a house and they're having to compete in bidding wars.
Right.
And we're not doing anything about health insurance premiums. Then for the love of God, what are we doing?
Gee whiz, Marjorie, I've been saying the same thing about Republicans for the last 25 years. What are you doing other than basically welfare for mega corporations and handouts to the filthy rich? And I don't mean folks with a few million bucks in their retirement account that are trying to help their kids pay for college and buy their first homes and retire with dignity. Not talking about you. I'm talking about people with their names on buildings who don't have bosses, and none of their kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, or great-great-great-grandkids will ever have to work a day in their life. So much for those bootstraps. Tim from Wales asks, why don't they just vote for extending the existing budget? That's what the continuing resolution is. Tim from Wales, that's what the existing CRs that the Senate Democrats have voted to include, that is what is on the table. The Senate Democrats want specifically any continuing resolution, which will largely simply fund the budget at the existing level, to repeal the stripping away of the Obamacare or Affordable Care Act tax credits for premiums, otherwise known as a subsidy for the ACA premiums. This is what's going to cause, say, a married couple at 55 earning about $80,000, $85,000 a year. That is what's going to take their healthcare premium from $8,000 per year to $24,000, $25,000, $26,000 per year. There are tons of examples of this. 35-year-old making $75,000. You can go through them. We're going to include a link in our show notes today that shows you those premium calculators. Look for that, folks. You can find all of our shows and show notes at civicmedia.us/shows or on Spotify or Apple Pods. When we come back, we're going to hear about putting federal workers into trauma. Yeah, the guy that's firing them has wanted to do this for years. Keep it locked. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Nair on air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and it is Sound Off Monday. What is on your mind? What do you think we've missed in covering the news? 855-752-4842. All are welcome. First-time callers, women, conservatives, veterans, you all go to the front of the line on this program, 855-75-CIVIC. We've got a veteran with us for this whole entire program. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He joins me frequently. Had a little hiatus, but he's back in the proverbial saddle with me on the Maggie Dawn Show. He is a Navy veteran. Happy 250th to the Navy. He is a small business owner and two-time congressional candidate. Again, Tom, thank you for sticking around with us. You wanted to make a point, and I don't know if I got there when we were talking about what's going on with Mike Johnson and the fact that he won't gavel in the House, why he won't actually have the House come do their work during an epic government shutdown. And you were extrapolating another point about that.
Yeah, and there are three people besides Thomas Massie from Kentucky who have signed the discharge position, one of them being Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's been incredibly vocal for the last couple weeks. She has been clearly transactional for her entire congressional career. So I find a hard time believing that she's turned a page on this. Nancy Mace from South Carolina is running for governor, is probably also looking for something. The third one, though, interestingly enough, is Lauren Boebert from Colorado, who has been completely silent. So I think one of those things that's happening is yes, Speaker Johnson is working tough behind the scenes to see what he can do before he gavels back in. But I also wanted to mention, Maggie, that I'm on the Affordable Care Act, as are a number of other small business owners, contractors, yes, people who cannot get insurance through an employer. They are going to get hurt, and they are going to get hurt hard. And I think that's something is, you know, in this country, we talk about entrepreneurship. We talk about people pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. This is a critical component to that. And if we don't create, if we don't bring back those subsidies, I think you're going to see a lot of small business owners have to either close shop, go back into the workforce to see what they can do, even though it's not a great time to do it. I think it's going to create some chaos, which to me is unfortunate because we founded this country on an entrepreneurial spirit and we should continue that.
Yeah, it hurts everybody, service workers who don't get health insurance because they're waiters, waitresses, etc. It hurts gig workers. It hurts folks with their own small businesses. It hurts the folks that work for small businesses. It hurts retirees. It hurts tens of millions of people. And folks will be sicker and die because of this. Republicans wanted to talk about death panels in the back, in the Wayback Machine. How about this? You're going to die because you can't afford insurance, courtesy of MAGA. Thank you very much. And
while
the point
you're
about
working hard.
Correct.
While you're working as hard as you can.
And the point about Mike Johnson and not gaveling in the House, my view is that he is working behind the scenes to try to peel off either Boebert, Green, or Mace. There are only four House Republicans that are voting for the discharge position. It's Massey from Kentucky, Green from Georgia, Boebert from Colorado, and Mace from South Carolina. That is the perfect time for Johnson or Trump to offer up a quid pro quo. You pull your vote on this, we'll give you XYZ. And the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene, as well as Lauren Boebert and Nancy Mace, to an extent, have sometimes been on the outs with MAGA and some of the leadership because of the way that they conduct business, I'm not surprised to see it lining up that way. Let's go to the phones here, folks. 855-752-4842. Charles from Milwaukee, say hi to Tom. What you got for us?
Good morning, Maggie and Tom. My complaint is just this constant lying from the Republican Party that the Democratic Party shut down the government. When they've changed the rules to get other things done, so why won't they change it to get this done?
Yeah, it's a huge lie, and let's be clear about that lie. We have sound of this. Senator Thune, he is the majority leader in the Senate, gave the most mealy-mouthed roundabout answer to, listen, you could end the filibuster, hit the nuclear option, and refund government tomorrow if Republicans wanted. They've got the votes to do that. Here's Senator Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, telling America why they just won't do that.
Why not go ahead and use this as an opportunity, if things are so dire, to get rid of the filibuster? Use the nuclear option.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the filibuster, as you know, supermajority requirement, is something that makes the Senate the Senate. And honestly, if we had done that, there's a whole lot of bad things that could have been done by the other side. The 60 vote threshold has protected this country, and frankly, that's what I think this last election was largely about, because if the Democrats had won the majority, they probably would have tried to nuke the filibuster. And then you'd have four new United States senators from Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia. You'd have a packed Supreme Court. You'd have abortion on demand. A whole bunch of things that were on that laundry list. They had about six or seven things that they were going to do when they nuked the filibuster. And so the filibuster protects. It's been a voice for the minority. It gives the minority a say in what happens in this country. The founders created the Senate uniquely that way for that specific reason. And so it's just really not that complicated. All it takes is a little backbone, a little courage on behalf of five Democrats to do what they have done and what we've done for decades.
And he goes on and on. Or it takes some courage for Senate Republicans to say it matters to us that Americans can continue to afford health care, health insurance. By the way, packed Supreme Court abortion on demand that's safe and that you have insurance coverage for. That sounds good. What was the other one? Oh, yeah. Supreme Court. What was the other thing? I forget what the first thing he said was. It was the packed court abortion on demand. What the hell was the other thing? Anyways, all of them sounded good to me. Oh, yeah, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. That would have passed as well. Guaranteed access to the voting booth for every American. Sure sounds good to me.
All terrible things.
We're going to take a break. Come right back. Mike from Muskota is up next on the phone line. You can be 2-855-756.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. President Trump spoke at a 20-nation peace summit in Egypt Monday.
At long last, we have peace in the Middle East.
He flew there after addressing the Israeli Knesset. Phase one of his Gaza peace plan had Hamas release all 20 living hostages, with Israel releasing about 2,000 Palestinian prisoners and detainees. Correspondent Deborah Pata reports on Palestinian reunions in Gaza.
Some have not seen their children for 2 years. Others broke down crying or have returned to a place that no longer resembles the one they left behind.
New research from Stanford Medicine finds hearing recordings of their mothers reading to them helped hospitalized premature babies grow the language part of their brains. Study co-author Melissa Scallop.
What was sort of exciting to us was like, gosh, we only did this for a little bit, and we already are seeing changes. It was pretty powerful.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers meet for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series at AmFam Field. The last time the Brewers made it this far was in 2018, when they lost in 7 games to this same Dodgers team. The Dodgers then advanced to the World Series, but lost to the Boston Red Sox in 5. College football. The Badgers, with another poor performance, losing 37-0 on homecoming to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Fall camp, I would tell you that we were in a better place. No, we're not better than most of the people or maybe anybody right now that we're playing.
NFL, the Packers over the Bengals, 27-18. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs led with 5 receptions, 18 carries for a total of 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, even though he had the flu.
I really don't know where it came from. Just kind of woke up this morning just not feeling my best. I told him, I said last time that I felt that way, I had 130 and 2 touchdowns. So it is what it is.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. As expected, the new Tron film, Tron Eris, opened at number 1 at the box office this past weekend. Unexpected, however, was the $33.5 million haul. It was a bit low, as Disney was hoping for between $40 and $50 million. The film pulled in another $27 million overseas, topping out at $60 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but the budget was $180 million, which will be a tough recoup. Adding to a not-so-great weekend numbers-wise were 2 other new films. In second place was the action comedy Roofman, which pulled in just $8 million despite good reviews. The other newcomer was Jennifer Lopez's musical version of Kiss of the Spider-Woman, which opened at number 13 with less than $1 million, but on many fewer screens. But it was still considered a disappointment. Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another still shows legs and pulled in almost $7 million in its third week to finish in third place. Gabby's Dollhouse finished in fourth place, and faith-based film Soul on Fire finished in fifth. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low around 40. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a shower or two possible as well, and cooler, a high in the upper 50s. Wednesday looks mostly cloudy, with a few sunny breaks and a high pretty close to 60. Right now it's 48.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
What's up with all the MAGAs claiming that they're such great Christians and claiming that America was founded as a Christian nation? I debunk all of these myths starting at 5 o'clock. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Sound Off Monday, where we will talk about whatever you want. I've, of course, got a few thoughts of my own to get the conversation starting. And I've got one takedown. You know how I like my takedowns. A caller or an elected official says something that I know is absolute baloney, and then I take it down. We're going to do one of those in this segment, but I want to give some love to our callers. Of course, we got my friend and yours, Tom Paulswitz, as my special co-contributor today. He's a Navy vet. Happy birthday, Navy. Two-time congressional candidate and, of course, a small business owner. We've been talking about the fact that Mike Johnson basically has had the House of Representatives on vacation since before the shutdown, not doing the people's business. You know who else isn't doing the people's business? The MAGA-led Wisconsin legislature. Do you know that our state Senate hasn't been in session since they adopted the budget in July? I just want everybody to absorb that. They get paid a lot of money, and they haven't been at work since July, courtesy of the MAGA that leads the state Senate. You want to talk about the House side, the state assembly? Oh, yeah. They're nearly as bad. The assembly, controlled also by MAGAs in the state, they've only met on the floor 13 times this year. How about it's October? Anybody else down for just showing up to work like 13 days of the year? Be like, yeah, pay me the full load. It's fine. Don't prorate that. It is a MAGA problem. Majorly and MAGA-ly everywhere, I would say. Pardon the pun or twist of words here. Mike from Muscoda, say hi to Tom. What you got for us, friend?
Maggie, that's pronounced Muscoday.
Muscoday. I get this wrong every time, Mike. You keep correcting me, and one of these days I'll get Muscoday right. Thank you for your correction, friend. Go ahead.
Well, I think that might be our way of pronouncing it, but maybe the Indians, the Native Indians, pronounced it Muscoda. That's quite possible. But however, I've got a sneaking suspicion that the Democrats are holding off to this King's Day rally. Why doesn't Chuck Schumer and Tammy Baldwin have the backbone to vote this shutdown out? What's the drama? Why are they such drama queens? I don't understand the Democrats, and I think they're a bunch of losers.
What, they're holding out because the ACA subsidies are going to go away and tens of millions of Americans are going to lose their health insurance and die. That's what doesn't sound like a drama act to me, Mike.
Well, it certainly seems that to me, but I appreciate
Wait, Mike, hang on. Why is it not a legitimate demand to restore the ACA subsidies so that 15 million Americans can keep their health insurance affordable?
15 million what Americans? The ones
citizens,
that don't get off
sir.
Their butt to work?
No, sir. These are First of all, the Affordable Care Act exchanges cover people who are working who do not get employer offered health insurance, like bartenders,
like me,
waitresses,
like me,
Tom Paulsowitz, who's on the phone.
So I don't agree with you. I never will. The Affordable Care
You don't agree with what, sir?
Never will be affordable. Just like,
sir, I'm asking you what you don't agree with. You can say, I still don't think health insurance is affordable as it should be. But it is a fact that over 10 million Americans will have to pay, in some cases, double or triple what they paid this year to purchase health insurance because Republicans, the MAGA party, removed the subsidies for the purchasing of insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
Why don't we go back to the double indemnity insurance like it used to be back in the 70s and 80s?
Where, the double indemnity insurance is mostly like a catastrophic plan, and it doesn't provide for general wellness visits, your regular health insurance. And if that worked so well, we would have done that. That does not solve the problem. The health insurance market that we understand today, over 10 million, some estimates as close to 15 million people will either go uninsured or not insured at all because the subsidy is no longer there, sir. That's the demand of Democrats. That's not drama. That's going to be those 15 million people's lived reality. How do you get health insurance, Mike, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, I get it through United Health. I've got Social Security.
So Medicare as well, Medicare Part B, sir, are you retired?
Yes, ma'am.
So you get Medicare, right? So other people who aren't yet Medicare eligible, also that are retired like you, also get their health insurance through the ACA. If someone was just like you, but simply a little bit younger, had to stop working because of illness or other reason, don't you think they deserve the right, just like you do through Medicare, to have affordable health insurance?
If they get off their butt and work, I think a lot of people have taken a free ride for a long time.
Mike, that's an incorrect assumption. If that is the entire basis for you, let me just say this, sir.
Incorrect?
Hang on.
Why am I incorrect and you right? Why
because I've researched this, sir.
Right?
You're just making stuff up and repeating talking points. Here's what
Mike,
I will say to you, sir.
Mike,
Tom.
Okay, go ahead.
If your opposition to restoring the subsidies is that you hold a belief that half, 60, 75% of people that get their health insurance through the ACA are unemployed freeloaders, wouldn't it be really important to check that fact, to spend 15 minutes on the internet and check if that's true? Because if that's not true, then you're in effect flipping the bird to those 15 million Americans who are working, but simply work two or three jobs at less than full time and can't get employer-based healthcare like you are able to, and the subsidies that are now provided to you through Medicare. Wouldn't it be really important to check that assumption? You there, Mike?
I don't think Mike's there. You know, but I think that the piece that's missing here, Maggie, is, you know, these are working people who still have to pay for their insurance. It's not free.
Right.
It's just affordable because they're not part of a pool that helps you create affordable insurance. That's all the ACA is. It's a non-employer related pool of people that can access health insurance. And the Republicans have done a great job, as Mike has shown us, that tie it to the idea that these are freeloading people who get health insurance for free, which is the farthest thing from the truth.
And there are people who have Medicaid but need gap coverage who also get that gap coverage through the ACA. Just a quick
I look forward to Mike just disavowing his Medicare and going and buying insurance on his own.
Right? I mean, that's where we're at. Let's go back to the phones. We got Tom from Madison. Tom from Madison, say hello to Tom Paulsowitz. What you got for us?
Yes, I am one of those freeloaders who was on the ACA for years. I'm an actor and a musician. I have hired other people, so I'm a job creator. The ACA gave me the first affordable health care I had in 20 years. For a long time, because I didn't make a whole lot of money, I made too much money to be on Medicaid, but I didn't make enough money to afford full price, you know. For many, many years, I paid more for my health insurance than I paid for housing.
Yes.
It was absolutely ridiculous. I have worked my butt off for decades and decades, and idiots like Mike, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling very compassionate today when I hear stuff like that. I swear to God, a MAGA Republican is somebody who stays awake all night knowing that somewhere, someone is getting something they might not deserve. It makes me insane. It's just crazy. I know dozens of people who have small business people, people who are artists, people who have to go from one job to another,
yes,
who would have no health insurance if it wasn't for the ACA. And not only that, but the pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
Getting rid of that has saved the lives of thousands of Americans. So, sorry, Mike, I'm sorry if you feel that it's not right, but this thing has saved thousands of lives. And the idea that you're just putting it away without having a replacement, I mean, the Republicans haven't had a health care plan since the Nixon administration.
Yeah.
So they cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted with health care. Not ever.
Correct. Correct.
Thanks so much, Tom.
According
to the Kaiser Family Foundation, their analysis estimates that 40% of adults under age 65 with individual marketplace coverage are either small business owners, employees, or self-employed. They do not have a correct stat for those that are full-time caregivers to someone who is disabled, a disabled child, or an elderly parent. There's a lot of ways to slice that data. But if that is correct, then Mike is willing to flip the bird to 7.5 million Americans, even though they're working full time, because somebody else who might be working less than full time might also be benefited. And here's the economic rub, Tom. I'll just say this. Even if people are not currently employed and they get health insurance through the ACA, if we had universal health care for folks, guess what happens to everybody? Everybody's premiums go down. Everybody's copays go down. Everybody's deductibles go down. And by the way, this is Romney care, that Republican Mitt Romney. This is what he did in Utah. And it was wildly heralded as a good thing. And the reason is everybody gets insurance. So everybody goes and gets preventative care. You have better health overall. It reduces the use of hospitalizations and emergency departments, et cetera, et cetera. Facts, man. It's they're a little
facts.
They're a sticky wicket.
Yeah.
They are a
they
sticky
are.
Wicket. All righty, let's we got Ollie from the Northwoods. Ollie, say hi to Tom P. What you got for us?
Hi, Tom. Thank you for your service. I had uncles and cousins who were in the Navy, even though my dad was in the Army for 23 years. but I have two things to sound off about. First off, I'd like to debate Mike on one thing. He is on Social Security, getting Medicare. He has his extra little bit of insurance. But he has to remember that there will come a day when the hospitals will no longer, and insurance companies will no longer be able to afford caring for people who are on Social Security because they are losing that funding from the Affordable Care Act. So insurance for everybody will go up, and hospitalization costs will go up for everybody.
Thanks so much, Ollie. I just want to squeeze in another call. By the way, I think Mitt Romney was governor of Utah. Utah's apparently on my brain today. I meant Massachusetts. Northwoods, Terry, we got less than a minute. Make it fast, my friend.
I was just going to correct you on Massachusetts. That's all. But anyway.
I love fact-checking from listeners in real time. It helps us all do better. I always welcome it. You can fact-check us. I am going to do the takedown on the Republican talking point that Democrats want to give people who are undocumented free health care. It's a lie. I'm going to prove it to you. The one time they tried to cite some evidence, I was paying attention. I took notes. We break it down next. The Big Lie Revealed. I'm Maggie Dawn. I got Tom Polzowitz with me on Monday's edition of Sound Off today, and each and every one of you. So keep it locked and join us, 855-75-SIVIC.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down until we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Farm news that impacts you and your community. From the Midwest Farm Report, throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 93.5 The Tap.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We are in our last segment of the day. It is Sound Off Monday, and I have been waiting to sound off about this one thing, and I wanted to share it with all of you. Of course, we've got good friend of the show, Tom Polzowitz, with us, a Navy veteran. Happy birthday to the U.S. Navy, 250 years young and still kicking today. He is a small business owner and a two-time congressional candidate. Tom, I laid this out for you in one of our breaks, and you're like, are you going to do that on the show? Because I think it's important.
Yes.
Okay. Important. So here is what is happening every single day, whether it's Jim Jordan, J.D. Vance, what's her name? Collins, the press secretary. Oh, Caroline Caitlin. Levitt.
Caroline Levitt.
Caroline Levitt. And certainly Mike Johnson. They get on these national news programs every day and they say Democrats want to give free health insurance to undocumented people. And it is a lie. Okay. When Mike Johnson was finally pressed about this, he's like, look at page 57 of Section 2141 of the Democratic funding proposal from the Senate. So I did that. Now, just to refresh our recollection, here's Mike Johnson spreading the lie with Caitlin Collins on CNN. Take a listen.
As you know, people who are here in the United States legally have never been eligible for the Obamacare subsidies, for Medicare, for Medicaid. So what exactly are you saying that they're trying to do when you talk about giving free health care to
them? I'm so glad you asked. Okay, so when we passed the One Big Beautiful Bill, the Working Families Tax Cut, we had Medicaid reforms in the bill. You and I talked about it on the air. What we did was to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse. There were a lot of people on the program who were enrolled in the program who were never eligible to be there. Medicaid is intended for eligible U.S. citizens, not illegal aliens, not also U.S. citizens who are able-bodied workers like young men. So we passed the law. The president signed it into law. Democrats voted against it, of course. And it's been wildly successful.
What you did was narrow the eligibility for certain people to get access to the ACA subsidies. What they want to do is undo the changes that Republicans made in that. But basically, wouldn't that only affect people who do have legal status, people who are refugee seekers here in the United States, asylum seekers here?
Those are two totally different issues. Now, they've created this as a new argument that they have as to why they should not keep the government open.
He goes on and on and on. The Republican lie every single day is Democrats want to give free health care to undocumented people. Okay, what's been cited as the basis for that is page 57 of section 2141 of the Democratic proposal to fund the government on the Senate side. Here is what section 2141 on page 57 says as to the Medicaid Act, which also covers ACA. It says this: Subtitle B of Title VII of the Act, blah, 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 is repealed, and any law or regulation referred to in such subtitle shall be applied as if it is null and void. Okay? That's what it says. So you got to go look. Okay, what is this act to provide reconciliation? Oh, that's Public Law 119-21. So then you got to go pull that up. That was the Republican big brutal bill. Okay, that's what that is. It's Public Law 119-21. So I pulled it up, and I pulled up the section that deals with the Social Security Act, which is 42 U.S.C. 1396 B sub V. Okay, 42 U.S.C. 1396. Here's what the Republican big brutal bill inserted newly into this act. Okay, notwithstanding the preceding paragraphs of this subsection beginning October 1st, except as provided in paragraphs 2 and 4, in no event shall payment be made to a state under this section for medical assistance furnished to an individual unless the individual is a resident of one of the 50 states and either a citizen or national or an alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence. Okay? They're making you think that that's new. Okay? In no event shall any payment be made to a state for medical assistance unless someone is a resident and either a citizen or a, quote, alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence. Yes, Democrats want to repeal that, but why does it not change the ineligibility of undocumented people? Because that act, the Social Security Act, already said that exact same thing. They added language that they did not need to add in order to confuse you and lie to their MAGA supporters to tell you and to make this claim on national news that they were newly adding the exclusion of people who are here illegally. Friends, that existed under that law since it was adopted. I read to you from that section as it was originally drafted and as it still stands. Before the big brutal bill, this is what it read. No payment shall be made to a state under this section for medical assistance furnished to an alien who is not lawfully admitted for permanent residence or otherwise permanently residing in the United States under color of law. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case. Republicans are lying to you. The MAGAs are lying to you. They put language into the big brutal to make you think they were newly making it illegal for undocumented people to receive any health insurance. It was always so. Here is the language from the bill as originally adopted. No payment shall be made to a state under this section for medical assistance furnished to an alien who is not lawfully admitted for permanent residence or otherwise permanently residing in the United States under color of law. Republicans acted like they were doing something, and all they did was add in the identical same language, just flipped around a little bit. It is a lie. It is a damn lie, and it will never be anything but a damn lie. Tom, closing thoughts. We got about 30 seconds,
my
friend.
Yeah, not surprising. The bigger picture, though, is show up to a rally this weekend, and then the last thing I have to say is go Brewers.
Go Brewers. Big game tonight, folks. Go Crew. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for the truth.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. President Trump is back in the White House now after trips to Israel and Egypt. Correspondent Tony Dokapil reports from Jerusalem.
President Trump addressing Israel's parliament, the Knesset.
20 courageous hostages are returning to the glorious embrace of their families, and it is glorious.
This, Mr. Trump says, is a new chance for the Middle East.
It's the start of a grand concord and lasting harmony.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Donald Trump is the greatest friend that the state of Israel has ever had in the White House.
Trump went on to Egypt for a peace summit where 20 world leaders signed a declaration supporting his efforts to end the war in Gaza. White House correspondent Nancy Curtis was there.
Trump's 20-point peace plan that was the basis for this deal calls for the creation of a temporary international stabilization